Blog Talk Radio.
Sabbath to everyone. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening at. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. On this morning, we were still covering discipleship and the principles of the doctrines of Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We're going to be continuing in that vein on this evening, and we're going to, you know, get right into it on this evening. We're going to do our statement of faith and get right into it so that we can, you know, get as far into this and get it done as quickly as possible. As I said, I was really surprised how much the Most High showed me, as I said, in this one verse and, you know, everything that it covers and what we should understand and be moving on from. So I'm not going to languish and ponder on reading what the discipleship is. The next time I do discipleship, I will read those definitions and give the foundations again. For those that pick up this evening service or download it, if you're on the internet and you have not downloaded any other versions of this particular precept, then go to the morning version and you can get what the scriptures say is the definition of a disciple and what the foundation, what the Most High requires to be his disciple. It's critical that we know that. So I pray that everybody, you know, got a good rest today, got the prescribed rest. I got a few hours after this morning. I had to go back and lay down again. Got a few hours of sleep in. And then people were calling me wanting, you know, to get on the website. And I had taken the website down for maintenance and hadn't brought it back up. And so I had to get up. And then it didn't want to come up, of course. And so had to work to get the website up because people are using it, and worked on that. Then, you know, read some scripture, and then did a little bit of research on, I found out for all those who are following the microgreen series and what we're doing in that area. We shouldn't be just feeding the plants just water, and that's what I've been doing. That's what I was told, and that's what, you know, the class that I got said to do. You know, you can just feed them just water, but they don't grow up. I'm wondering why I'm not getting the same results. They don't grow up to be as tall and as big as those that you give nutrients to. But they don't have anything that actually really says what that should be. So I have a formula I've been using for the other plants, and I will give these another 2 or 3 days. I'm going to water them with nutrients, hydroponic nutrients, and see how if they shoot up the way that they should. And then the next set that I do, I will do strictly with, when I germinate them, I'll germinate them with water, and then the first watering will be with, you know, the hydroponics solution that I feed the other plants that are, you know, not flowering, but, you know, that we want to grow big and green and see what the results are. So let us do our statement of faith. That's all the updates I'm going to give on this evening for, you know, that type of stuff. I pray that we are able to join tomorrow morning for spiritual warfare. We do, you know, discuss different things during spiritual warfare. We are you know, doing the Black History as it is in the Bible, that series. And I don't recall. I might have to go back and listen. I don't think I gave any questions for this week. But I have to, you know, look through the series and then decide for this next coming week, you know, what homework I will give you guys to keep you engaged in that series. So our statement of faith, and I have to say this, I was actually really blessed this morning, even with the teaching. I was blessed myself because, you know, sometimes, and I won't say sometimes, a lot of times, I'm not just teaching you, but I'm teaching myself also. A lot of these things are reiterated within me. They are, let me just say, being reinforced within me. And I was just blessed by the message on this morning. Anyway. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us all turn toward the east. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Worship him with your lips. Worship him with your hands. If you feel like it, get up and worship him with your feet. Truly, he is worthy of all the praise and the honor. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. We just want to glorify you. We want to give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Father. You are our Elohim, Father. You are our Redeemer and our Savior. You are our true God and our true life, Father. We just look to you for everything, Father, and we want to magnify your name. We want to tell the world all about you. We want to be your disciples, Father, and to become just like you. We want to be like Daddy. We want to grow up and be just like you, Father, and to make good, hallelujah, on your name, that when people see us, they see you, Father, and we just thank you on this evening for all that you have done for us and all that you're going to do, hallelujah, because we know that everything that you do for us is good. Hallelujah. There is none better. There is none more righteous. There is no Elohim other than you, Father. And we just thank you on this evening. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And let us go on this evening. We are going to go get Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And I need to just copy these. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8, the book of Proverbs chapter 8. And let's get verse 17, Proverbs 8 and 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In the book of John, chapter 14, John chapter 14. And let's get verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So nothing has changed. I love them that love me and keep my commandments. And if you love me, keep my commandments. His message doesn't change from testament to testament, from contract to contract. His requirements are the same. All right. Let us go ahead and move right into this. We have a lot to cover. And I want to get, you know, as much of this done on this evening as possible. We talked about the doctrines of Christ and that the scriptures are telling us that we're to leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Not that we drop it, not that we forget about them, but leaving them in the fact that we shouldn't have to be lay the foundations for them all the time. You know, every time we turn around, we got to talk about the law, the law, the law. We got to talk about sin, sin, sin. We got to talk about, you know, baptism. As a disciple, these things should be, they should be basic to you. They should be part of your core and part of your foundation. So if you are no longer a babe in Christ, in Mashiach, then these doctrines you should know like the back of your hand, and you should understand them. Shouldn't have to be laid, you know, for you every Sabbath or every other Sabbath or three times in a year. You know, refresher is always fine, but these things are meant for non-believers and those that are new in the Word. You should be able to talk to these topics, these doctrines, with anybody, and be able to explain them to them according to the word of the Most High with authority. It should not be able to move you back and forth and to, you know, cause you to go, and not, you know, doubt what you believe. But you should be grounded and rooted in these things, in these doctrines. And so that is the repentance from dead works, faith toward Elohim, the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. You should know these doctrines according to the scriptures. Okay, and he's saying we shouldn't have to lay the foundations for these all the time, especially in our own lives. Now, for new saints and those who maybe were not taught the truth, they weren't trained up in the word the way they ought to be, maybe their teacher wasn't well-versed, well-studied, because we've got a lot of people who just went. They weren't sent. They weren't supposed to be going out or teaching or doing anything. They saw some truth and some concept in the scriptures and desired to be a teacher. But you really have to be sent by the Most High in order to do this occupation, justice, and you have to be willing to, you know, put in the work and have to be willing to be trained, and you have to set aside yourself. You have to let the Most High tell you. So we want to go ahead and move forward in these doctrines, and so we are going to be finishing up faith toward Elohim. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. The book of Matthew chapter 21 on this evening. We're going to start there. And what, you know, what I don't want you to ever be able to say concerning this ministry is that you weren't taught. Okay, that you weren't taught the truth and that you weren't taught and given sufficient information for you to live on and grow on, that you might be well supplied in the scriptures. All right, so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to get verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 22. And let's actually start. Yeah, we'll just do this one because I know we've read these before. Matthew 21 and 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. The thing is, we're talking about faith toward Elohim. You got to believe whatever you ask him for, you're going to receive it. But here is another part of that, okay? You got to also be within his will. Because, see, prayer is not to move the Most High to our position in something that we want. Prayer is really designed to move us to his position. What is your will for me in this matter? We should be asking the Most High all the time, what is it that you want me to do? What is your will? That should be your prayer. Most High, do you want me at this job? What is your will? Most High, do you want me to make this move? What is your will? What is your will? Not my will. That's what Messiah said. Not my will, but thy will be done in heaven and in earth. So you, as his disciple, you have to understand that. You have to get that so that your prayers aren't going up in a mist. Just being thrown up in the air. Most High, you know, I need for you to do this for me. But don't ask him what his will is. What is it that he desires for you? Don't ask what is it that he wants you to do so that he will bless you in it. No, this is what I need for you to do for me. That's, you know, the way most people pray. But ask what his will is for you. And then when you know what his will is, if you ask for it, surely he will do it for you. Because it's his will also. So your prayers should be designed to move you to the Most High's position and not try to move the Most High to your position. I'm sure there are times that, you know, we can petition him in such that way. But, you know, if we're petitioning him in such a way, then we are already walking in his will, and we know what it is that he desires for us, and we're trying to get it done. And so this is what I need, Most High, for you to do so that I can get done what it is that you wanted me to do. I need you to move on my behalf in this situation, in this way. I need you to give me favor. I need you to change this person's heart or their mind. Because you told me this is what you want me to do, and this is what needs to happen for that to happen. I hope I'm being clear here. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That is a short version of faith. That is, you walk by faith. You don't see, you can't see what it is that you're trying to achieve. You can't see the end, but you believe it. So you don't walk by what you can see. You don't walk by what's in front of you, what's presenting itself. You're walking by what you want the end result to be, or what the Most High has let you know the end result is going to be. That's what you're walking by. You can't see that yet. None of us can see the kingdom in the way that it's going to be yet. It's not here in that form yet. It's here on this earth. But it says the violent take it by force. Take the kingdom by force. And we're acting all timid. We don't want to enforce the will of the Most High in the world. You know, we want, we need for you to do it, Most High. But he says, hey, I gave you the authority. I gave you to the authority. So we are to walk by faith. We are to believe what the Most High has told us. We believe that what he said he will do for us, he will do. And we don't walk by what we see. Because, you know, you might not be able to see victory immediately in front of you. But if you walk as though you already have the victory. It's already done. Why are you walking that way? Because the Most High told you, this is done. It shall be. And you walk in that regard, in that light. That is your faith in him. The Most High said it. I believe it. That's the end of it. I don't have to see the end of it. I don't have to see the final result. It don't have to be right here in front of me. I know that it's going to happen. I know that it's going to come to pass. And I walk in that. That's what he's saying. Walk in that. Okay? James chapter 1. The book of James chapter 1. And verse 6. And I actually want to read verses 1 through 6 for this one. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. James, a servant of Elohim and of Master Yeshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You're going to be tempted, just like Messiah was tempted. He was tempted at all sides. But you have to overcome, because it's trying you to see how much have you grown. How committed are you to what the Most High is doing? And so, you know, one of the greatest times that we are tested is when we first come to the Most High. We truly come to him. We're all excited. You know, we are overzealous. We want to tell everybody about, you know, what the Most High has done for us. And, you know, I've been saved and so forth and so on. And then the enemy comes and attacks through your family, through your friends, through the job, through your finances. Through everything telling you that, you know, what you're doing, you shouldn't be doing. But if you, you know, being a babe, that can be hard. That can be hard because you're like, wow, am I really doing the right thing? Did the Most I really tell me? Was that who I really heard? And you're supposed to understand, you take it with joy because the enemy is coming against you because you are doing the right thing. You have defected from the enemy's kingdom. Defected. I no longer want to be in the kingdom of the God of this world. I want to be in the Most High's kingdom. I'm defecting into his kingdom, and I'm going to follow his statute, his laws, and his commandments, and the enemy will attack you. And so then you're going to wonder, are you doing the right thing? Wait a minute. I didn't have this kind of problem before. I didn't have these type of problems before I did this. Am I doing the right thing? And if you've been taught well, then you're going to know that that's going to happen. And you're going to count it all joy because it's telling you that you're actually doing the right thing. The enemy is mad. He wants you back. He wants you doing what you were doing. Because then he knows he has you. Don't have to worry about you because you're convinced that you're on the right side. But when we defect and we come to the Most High and the enemy starts to attack us, then we're to count it all joy. For trying of your faith, it works patience. It teaches you to wait on the Most High. Teaches you not that, you know, you don't want anything microwave. There are times when the Most High does microwave a situation. But then most of the time, you have to wait on his time. You want him to move now, and he's like, no, it's not time to move yet. And I need to see if you're going to really depend upon me, if you're going to wait. But let patience have her perfect work, verse 4, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you are doing what you're supposed to do, those trials and those tribulations, once you pass that test, it doesn't come again. It doesn't come again. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask Elohim, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We're talking about faith in Elohim. You lack wisdom, you need an understanding in any situation. He said, let you ask the Most High. But he gives you a caveat to that. A caveat to that. But let him ask in faith. Let that person ask in faith. What's their faith? Believing that whatever they ask, that he's going to do it. And if they're asking, they should be asking from the position of what is his will. Believing and wavering in nothing. Nothing wavering. Don't be double-minded. Don't be doubting. Because see, a lot of times, this is what worry is all about. When you cast your cares on the Most High, you no longer worry about those things. Why? Because you have given them to him. And you have no doubt that he's going to what? Handle it for you. So you don't have any need of worry. Wavering, because that's what worrying is. It's wavering. I don't know what I'm going to do in this situation. I don't know how I'm going to make this happen. I don't know what's going to happen. You've asked the Most High to intervene for you, and you let it go. What? Believing that he's going to do what is necessary. He's going to handle it on your behalf. If you don't know what needs to be done, if you don't know what his will is and what he desires, then just say, just let your will be done, Most High, and let it go, knowing he's going to do what's the very best thing for you, the thing that you may have been wanting him to do. He solves the situation a totally different way, and it just turns out so much better than what you even ever could imagine. I thought, I needed to have things done this way. And the Most High did this. And look at this. Look at this. I ain't got nobody after me. Ain't nobody wanting anything. The situation is solved perfectly. And I don't have no concerns. So you have to ask in faith, not wavering, not doubting. Don't even ask him, because the scripture is going to tell you, we've been getting ready to read. Don't even ask him if you're going to be in doubt. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Just being just tossed back and forth, here and there. Not grounded in him. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yah if you waver. So understand that, saints. Understand that if you are his disciple, you have to believe that he's going to do what he says. And you can't waver in it. You can't doubt in it. He says, because if you waver, if you doubt, you're not going to receive what you're supposed to receive. Why are you even asking me and you don't believe that I will do what I say I'm going to do? Why are you even asking me? He says, don't. You're not going to receive it. That's why when I pray for things, I pray for them one time. I don't pray over and over and over for them concerning my own personal life. I don't pray for them over and over and over again. I pray one time, and I let it go. And your will be done, Most High Elohim, your will be done. If the answer is yes, the answer is yes. And you're going to make it work out to be a yes, and you're going to make sure that turns out in my favor. If the answer is no, the answer is no, and you're going to make another door. You're going to give me another solution. But you don't doubt. Whatever his answer is, that's what it is. I have to accept it. That's his will. When we doubt, we are double-minded. Because when you are convinced, just put it this way, and you know, we can put it in a way that when we know that we know something, can't nobody change our mind on it. Because we know. You can't tell me nothing about that. Been there, done that, got that t-shirt. I know what that's about. Can't nobody change your mind on that thing. Because you know. And it's the same way when you're asking the Most High for something. You need to know. You can't change my mind on this. I'm asking the Most High for this because I know that I'm within his will within it, and he's going to do it, and I let it go. Let his will be done. I'm not going to be wavering. I'm not going to be in doubt. I'm not going to be double-minded in this matter. Because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we are double-minded, we don't know which mind we're choosing from. I feel this way about the situation in this regard. In the same situation, I feel this way about it. That's being double-minded. When we are halfway in the kingdom and halfway outside the kingdom, when we haven't committed to the Most High 100%, trust me, you are double-minded. Because half the things that you do, you take it in regards to what the world says, and maybe the other half, you take it in regards to what the Most High says. You can't serve two kings. He tells us this. He uses the example of money. Can't serve two kings. You can't serve, really, two governments. One of them's got to be primary in your life. And if the Most High says you can't have nothing before him, nothing and nobody that comes before him, then the governments of this world cannot come before him. You don't compromise his standard to meet their standard. You don't have 1 foot halfway in the world and 1 foot halfway in his kingdom, because then you are double-minded and you are unstable. You might think you're stable, but you're not. You can just be as easily be pulled back out of the kingdom if something if something sounds good to you. You can be pulled out of the kingdom. So a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That means that, as I said, you are halfway in and halfway out of whatever situation. Okay, let's go to James. Well, we already read James 1 and 3. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. And if I say something and you have a question on it, you know you can press the number 1. It'll raise your hand and I'll know you have a question. We're not beyond answering questions. You have a statement, a comment. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. The book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Actually, let's get verses 1 through 4. Whosoever believes that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Christ, is born of Elohim. And everyone that loveth him that begat that begat loves him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and keep his commandments. If you don't keep the commandments of the Most High, you can't love the Most High, because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's one. But he says, you also don't love my children. There's no way that you can. You don't even know how. For this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. What is he saying by that? That we're keeping his commandments and it doesn't grieve us to keep them. It's not a hard thing for us. We're not struggling with it. We're not double-minded about it. You know, if you are keeping the commandments and it's hurting you in your heart in some kind of way, it's offending you in your mind in some type of way to obey any of his commandments. Because, you know, we read some things, and, you know, I use the women on this. And not to pick on women, because, you know, I really try to be even-handed in this gospel. I really do. But when the scriptures tell a woman to submit to her husband as unto Christ, that's a commandment. And some women will hear that, my husband don't act like no Christ. He ain't Christ. You married him. He is your husband. Whether he's doing the right thing or not, you have to. If you say you belong to the Most High, whether he is or not. Because a lot of times, you know, the women will go outside of the body because there's not enough men in the body, and they'll go find them a man outside the body, and he's not godly. He might have some good principles. He might promise to treat them well. But he really is not a godly man. Don't even have a clue. Just has his, what he feels is his understanding of it. And then when he finds out everything, what it cost him, I don't want to do that. But you married him. And then the scripture doesn't say as he follows Christ. It doesn't say according to his walk, if his walk is holy. It says to be obedient to your husband, period. That's why you have to be careful who you marry. You have to be careful because you are commanded to be obedient. And if you're going to be the disciple of the Most High, the disciple of Mashiach, you have to do what you're supposed to do. Just like he has to do what he's supposed to do, regardless of what his spouse is doing. You got to understand this. Because one is doing wrong, don't make the other one do wrong. Because one is being disobedient, don't make you both be disobedient. I'm not doing that what it says right there because he don't follow the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. They ain't got a daggone thing to do with you. So we got to understand that we keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. So why are you always obedient? Because I'm commanded to, and I happily do it because the commandment is not grievous. This is what pleases the Most High. I hope that was a good example to give us that so that we can understand, because it's one of the areas where, you know, I know people struggle. Relationships aren't perfect, and when we are walking according to the Most High, when we are trying to walk the walk, we are responsible for ourselves. And any time that's why he says you can't love your spouse or yourself more than you love him. Your love for him has to make you walk right, regardless of the situation. Whether you do right or not, I'm going to do right. Because I've heard women, you know, say this. I'm not going to submit to him as I do unto Christ, unto Mashiach. He out here doing everything. But you married him. You're the one in the Word. You're the one in the Scriptures. You're the one in class. I don't care. I can't do. Then understand that, yeah, your prayers and everything are going to be hindered too. Wonder why you're going through? Because you're refusing to be what? Obedient to the Word of the Most High. And his commandments for you are what? Grievous. They're causing you grief. I got to submit to him. You married him. But I thought he was, no, you married him. Turn him over to the Most High. Tell him, hey, your will be done. I need you to straighten out the situation. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I need you to straighten out the situation, Most High. And even with a wife, Most High, I need you to straighten out this situation. But I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Because your commandments are what? Not grievous. Whatever the commandment is. For whatsoever is born of Elohim overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim. So we have to believe this. We have to know this. We have to understand it. Now, most people don't have a problem believing that Messiah is the Son of Elohim. That's usually the way most of them purely understand it, from that standpoint only. And that's all he requires. When you want to know who the Most High is and who Messiah actually is, then Messiah says that he is the one that reveals who the Father is to us. So we got to understand that. But we want to make sure that we what keep his commandments and that we don't consider them to be grievous, causing us grief to do it. What? You mean if I come out of a marriage and the marriage, if I come out of it not the way that the Most High says to come out of it, I'm not free to remarry? It's a commandment. I don't know if I can do that. I can't be by myself. But that's the commandment. You mean if I'm not happy with my spouse as a man and I put her away, but she hasn't cheated on me, that I'm going to be, you know, she can't cook, she don't clean, she don't support me in anything, but you married her. But you can't prove that she has ever cheated on you? Then the Most High said, you're not free to divorce her. As a man, you're not free to put her away for just any reason. The only reason that I give you that you can put her away is that she is unfaithful. And then if she's unfaithful and you put her away under the old covenant, you would have stoned her. If there was two or three witnesses, you would have stoned her. Wouldn't have to worry about it. She was stoned. But now in the present covenant, he says, hey, you put her away because she was unfaithful. Then she is now an adulterer. And whosoever she marries, whoever marries her, becomes an adulterer. This is my judgment in the matter. And man, if you put her away for any reason other than she cheated, then you are an adulterer. And whosoever you marry is an adulterer if they marry you. These are the words of Messiah. So, and we take grief with it. What? You mean I can't live my life the way I want to live it? I can't go have the relationship that I want to have because I don't want to be alone. I still have needs. I still have desires. He says, yeah, you can go do whatever you want to do. This is my commandment. And this is my judgment concerning it. And if you do it, this is how I'm going to judge you. You come before me, I'm going to say, these were your works. You are an adulterer. You are guilty. Go to the lake because no adulterer can enter into my kingdom. So sometimes life puts us in a situation, or we put ourselves in situations that make doing the commandments, we cause our own self grief. And a lot of the times we're doing it and we're not even aware of it because we're not even aware what the commandment says until we come into the truth and somebody teaches us and be like, oh, snap, I can't just do that. The world is jumping in and out of relationships, left and right. Jumping in and out of relationships like they change underwear. The Most High says you can't do that if you belong to me. There is a way in and there is a way out. And if you don't meet the requirements for it, then you have to obey my commandment and do it what? Happily. Most, I can't stay here with this man beating me. He just beats me just to beat me. I don't even have to do anything. He beats me. He says, you can leave, but you are not free to remarry. You mean I got to stay alone? Yeah, you're not, till he's dead, you're not free to remarry. See, we read these things, but we don't really think they apply to us. We don't really think that it's applicable because we don't want to be alone. We don't want to, you know, and then we don't want to be sleeping around. Well, I'll just get back into a relationship and I'll stay there. But that relationship that you just got into made you an adulterer. And put you on the other side of the kingdom, the outside of it. Grievous. So we have to understand where we're at. We have to understand what the Most High says is permissible. That's why a lot of things that are permissible in the scriptures, people teach against them. They teach against them, but it's permissible. But it's not, you know, the custom of the land. But we won't go there because we bring grief upon ourselves. We do. We bring it upon ourselves because then we put ourselves in situations and this is what the Word of the Most High says. And then we're in trouble. And we don't want nobody to tell us we're in trouble either. Don't let whoever sends that message, they become your worst enemy. They're just a messenger. But now you hate them because they told you the truth. So understand that. You're going to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. When we don't line up with his commandments, let the word of Yah be true. And let me be a liar. Let me line myself up with his word. Okay. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's get verse 11. Now, we have to actually go and get context. Start in verse 1. We need the context here, because the verse on its own, it will say something to us, but we need the context to get the proper context. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 1, we're going to read down through 11. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Elohim and his doctrine, be not blasphemed. Remember we did the precept on blaspheming the word of Elohim? And then doctrine is a stated, stated understanding and following of a particular principle. That's that doctrine. His doctrine on repentance from dead works, his doctrine on faith toward him, his doctrine on baptism, okay, that his doctrine be not blasphemed. He tells you, if I send you into slavery, serve your masters with your whole heart. As though he actually says, if I send you into slavery, serve your masters as though you're serving me, because I sent you there. Just like he tells a woman to submit herself unto her husband as unto me. A lot of times when we are in situations that we don't want to be in, we ain't trying to hear that. But when we go back and we look at the scriptures, Daniel, Joseph, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, even the nation of Israel, when they were sent into captivity, they knew why they had been sent into captivity. And the righteous among them obeyed the Most High, and they obeyed their captors until they told them to do something that was contrary to what the Most High says. They served their captors like they served the Most High, because it was his will. So we got to understand that even in our captivity, whatever we do, we're supposed to do it as unto the Most High. Our service is unto him. When I was in the church, and you know, the Most High had filled me with the Ruach, had filled me with his spirit. And I would come to the church. I was a deacon at the time. I would get to the church early, open up, you know, the church, open up the buildings. We were building a new sanctuary, and we had a dirt parking lot. We had a big sanctuary, but we hadn't, you know, had the money to pay for the parking lot yet. And so, but we wanted to use the new facility because we had outgrown the old one. You know, we had people willing to sit outside in chairs. This is how dynamic this preacher was, this man of God. And I thank the Most High for him. But I would get there early and I would, you know, take the water hose. I'm in my, you know, in not in tennis shoes or anything like that. I got on my best Sunday shoes and my suit. And I'm out here in this field, watering the dirt so that there won't be any dust, you know, a big dust cloud when people start pulling in. And when they park and when they walk, you know, there's just not all this dirt going everywhere. And, it, you know, I wouldn't water it down to where it would be muddy, just water it down so that it would hold down the dust. And people are like, why do you do that stuff? I said, because this is as unto the Most High. You benefit from it, but it's as unto him. My service to him. I don't want the saints coming in having any reason to say, well, you know, we don't want to come because it's too dusty. It's this, that, or the other. Because people will use any type of excuse. And so that was, you know, when I would talk to my pastor, you know, I would let him know, my service is unto the Most High. If I see you fall, it's not going to affect my faith, because my faith is not in you, the man. And I love you like a father. And this brother was only 7 years older than me. But I said, I love you like a father, because that's how you've been to me. I said, but if I see you fall, I'm not falling. Because I'm not here worshiping you, I'm worshiping the Most High. And my service is unto the Most High. So, you know, I don't ever want you to get it twisted, that I got my nose up your butt or something. Because it's not like that. I love you to death, but that, I'm not brown nosed. This is my service as unto the Most High. And so if it appears to be that way, so be it. I don't care what people think. I don't care what they say. I'm here to please the Most High God. That's who I called him at that time. The Most High God. The Most High Elohim. So I could care less what people are saying or what they think. But I just want you to know, this is who I'm serving. So whatever needs to be done, I'm here to do it. Whatever needs to be done, I'm here to do it. My, you know, because that's what is in my heart to do. And this is what he's saying here. Okay. And they that have believing masters, because there were some people who, you know, that's what I understand about the church today. And anybody that calls themselves, quote unquote, a Christian, and how they can be prejudiced for the sake of race and color, when he tells them, if you have a believing master, if they think they're better, they can't just treat you any kind of way. If you're a believer also, we are still brothers in Messiah, whether I'm the servant or whether I'm the master. Let them not despise them. Don't despise your servants, because they are brethren. But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. It's all about, we're all part of the same body. And when we bring in prejudice and we bring in racism and we bring in all those things that in this society are negative toward human relations, if Messiah can't unite us, ain't nothing going to unite us. Nothing. And so all those Christians that can watch, you know, can have a policeman, those pastors that can have a policeman that comes to their church, and they know that he shot this person down in cold blood, and don't chastise him concerning it. Who encourage, hey, you just keep the law. And this person was a Christian that they shot. It does not compute. It doesn't compute. And it shows that they are double-minded and that they are, you know, just totally, really unworthy. Have not, don't even have any of the doctrines of Messiah down. Just doing what makes them feel good. We can't be that way. We cannot be that way. If any man teach otherwise, verse 3, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. If he teaches otherwise, he is proud, knowing nothing. Think that he knows. But if he's contrary to this word, he knows what? Nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, arguments, whereof comes envy and strife and railings, fighting and evil surmises. Oh, I can't stand you. If I catch you out here in this parking lot by yourself, And can't nobody see, I'm going to hit you in the head. I'm going to hurt you. Evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Because if we are not doing this in accordance with the word of the Most High, we are corrupt. We're corrupt in the doctrine. It means that our minds are corrupt because we think otherwise. And destitute of the truth. We are without truth. Destitute of the truth means we are without truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. I'm not here to gain from you. You shouldn't be here to gain from me as far as getting over. As far as trying to, make myself economically or financially or whatever better at your expense to gain. If that's what a lot of people do with this gospel, a lot of preachers, and a lot of saints think that that's what it's about too. But godliness with contentment is great gain. To have godliness with contentment, being satisfied with what the Most High has given you, where he has placed you, what he has commanded you to do. You're doing it without being grievous. It doesn't grieve you to do it. Your situation doesn't grieve you. It's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. You came into this world butt naked. And you may not leave butt naked because somebody's going to put some clothes on you. But you ain't carrying nothing with you. And, societies used to try to do that. That's what those doctrines of the pharaohs were. If you were Pharaoh's servant, you might be dying with Pharaoh. So that he can have use of you in the afterlife. His horses, his chariots, his servants, all died with him. But the Most High is telling us, hey, you brought nothing in this world with you and you can take nothing out. And it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. We want all these, we want these big houses. We want, this condominium. We want whatever because, we felt like we worked for it. But the Most High says, I want you all to have all things in common. I want you to support each other. Look to the good of each other. So, having food and raiment, clothing, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Because, a lot of times Most High can't bless you with money, can't bless you with wealth. It's what you would take it and use it for. It's not what he says to take it and use it for. It's what is going to make you happy. And so because we have the money, a lot of times we do some things. Do you think a man that really, if a man only had the money to eat with, that he would actually go spend it on a prostitute? But because he has the money to spend on a prostitute and the money to eat, he might spend the money that he has extra on that prostitute. If that's what his mind is up, and that's an example. You might spend it going shopping. You might say, hey, I only got X amount of dollars, so I need this new pair of shoes and this dress. No, I don't need them. I want them. But if I do this, then I'm going to be short on groceries. We don't typically do that. Now, some people do, but We typically don't do that. If we're in our right mind, we're not going to do that. Okay. But when we got the money to do something, and it's not going to hurt us, it's like my brother-in-law before. He used to make like $19 million a month, literally. And this is no joke. $19 million a month. And he could afford to go to Vegas and drop $1 million gambling, just gambling. And then when the Most High took it all back from him, he wished he had those millions he was dropping every night. So you got to understand that when you have the money, a lot of the times you will blow it on doing things you ought not do, on foolish and hurtful lust. For the love of money is the root of all evil. If all we've ever worked for is the money, the love of it is the root of all evil. Because what we were willing to do, we might be willing to neglect certain things in our life because we got to get this money. We might not pay as close attention to our children as we were supposed to because I got to get this money. And so we have to understand that. Which, while some coveted after the money, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When we live for the money, and we're not doing anything for the kingdom, we're not doing anything for anyone else, but what is going to, you know, is going to gain us. We're doing it because we're going to gain something from it. We're not being charitable for the sake of being charitable, but we're being charitable because we're going to get something out of it. Then it says that we have erred from the faith. Because that's not what the Most High wants. That's not what he teaches us. But thou, O man of Elohim, flee these things, run from these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Because see, when we are chasing these other things, we're not laying hold on eternal life. Not in the kingdom. Not in, as a citizen of the Most High's kingdom. We may think we are, but we have erred. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. If you are after this eternal life, and that's what you are truly after, then you have professed a good profession. If you are seeking to win souls to the kingdom of the Most High, if you are seeking to be a disciple of Mashiach, which you're going to do the same thing he did, then you have chosen a good profession. And it's your profession. Because a lot of, you know, I'm a secretary. I am tech support. I'm an engineer. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm whatever. We can see that as a profession. But I'm here to tell you on this evening that when you come to Mashiach and you accept his plan of salvation, you have a new profession. And not just professing that you are a Christian, that you believe in Mashiach, but you have a job, a new job and a new duty, and he wants you to do it with your whole heart. He wants you to do it with everything that's within you. You can't halfway approach this. And he's told us that. Can't halfway do this. You got to give me your all. You got to give up everything for me. You want life eternal in my kingdom? You're laying hold on eternal life and you want it in my kingdom, then this is what's required. And, you know, doesn't matter what anybody else says. You got to go by what the Most High says. Let the Most High be true and every man a liar. Oh, you ain't got to do all that. If you just do this, you're fine. If that's contrary to what the Most High says, let them be a liar. And don't be ashamed to tell them, you're a liar. That's not what the word of the Most High says. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. The book of Romans chapter 1. And let's get verse 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And let's actually get verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Mashiach, for it is the power of Elohim unto salvation. I told you this was the definition of Christ. The power, the wisdom and the power of Elohim unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Or we can say to the Jew first and also to the rest of the world. Because the Greek is going to, you know, represent the rest of the world, the Gentile nations. And when I say Gentile nations, all those nations that are not Israel. For therein is the righteousness of Elohim revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by their faith in Elohim. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of Elohim is manifest in them, is shown in them. For Elohim has showed it unto them. They know the truth, but they hold it in what? Unrighteousness. See, I know the churches and everybody's reading this stuff. And those men, those teachers in those churches, those pastors, they got to know this or else they're just totally blind. Or the Most High has not allowed them to see it. But for those that see it, and I know I've talked to people, to pastors and just, you know, believers about a lot of these subjects. And they're, you know, they will read it for themselves and then, no. I know what it's saying, but no. I can't do that. But that's what the word says. I know, but over here it says this. I said, yeah, but that in context with this doesn't mean what you're saying. They have the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. And then they don't do it. And then it says that Elohim has showed it unto them. So he allowed them to see it. But they choose to hold it in unrighteousness. Have to choose it. Because if he shows it to them, they have to choose to hold it in unrighteousness and not do it. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. They know who he is and what he is, and they know how they should be respecting him and honoring him, reverencing him and fearing him, but they don't. They honor him in words only. But indeed, they are far from him. because that when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When you have the truth and you refuse to obey it, little by little you become more insensitive to your disobedience. The more you disobey, the less guilty you feel, until you can just be disobedient and it's just second nature. And you'll justify and say, well, he's going to have to forgive me because that's what he said. No. Your heart has been darkened. And you just don't know it. The light that was in it has slowly been snuffed out. And you have knowledge, but it's dark knowledge. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Elohim into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore Elohim also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's where a lot of this gay and most of this gay stuff is coming from. They refuse to acknowledge Elohim. And Elohim has sent somebody to them to tell them what the truth is. But no, I want to do what I want to do. You know, yeah, I'm sorry. When I look at a man, I'm a man, it excites me. And I just want to do what I want to do. I'm sorry, I'm a woman, and when I look at another female, it excites me. I know it's not natural, but it feels natural to me. It's my body, and it's natural for me. And the Most High says, it's not natural. And actually, I have sent that spirit into the world for the likes of you. I'm going to give you this spirit of uncleanliness. I'm going to let you believe that what you are doing and believing is okay. I'm going to do this. And it will pass from generation to generation because that spirit will be in your family. Remember, he says, I love them that love me, even down, and chastise those that hate me, even down to the second or the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. I let the spirit pass through your family, that your offspring will be cursed because of you. Wherefore Elohim gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, Elohim gave them up to vile affections. He gave them up to this. For even their own women did change the natural use into that which was against nature. And likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which was unseemly, and receiving unseemly, and received in themselves that repayment or that payment for their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Elohim, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They know this. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So when we get that mindset and we change this truth into a lie, he turns us over. And we believe that we believe the truth. So from verse 17, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what the Most High, that what he says is true. Faith in that, believing that he says, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind. That reprobate mind will believe a lie. And there's nothing that you can tell them to make them believe the truth. Why? Because it's caused by the Most High himself. I have rejected that one. They can't even repent. So we can go way, we can go too far down a rabbit hole. And the Most High even takes the ability for us to repent. Just not going to be within us. Because we chose that. We chose it. Start desiring women. Start desiring men. Start desiring animals. Start desiring to do everything. Is, you know, it's all right. Ain't nothing perverted. Whatever pleases you, that it should be okay. As long as you ain't hurting nobody else, it should be all right. That's a reprobate mind. Most High says, I turned them over to that. Because they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They choose to believe what they want to believe. John chapter 7, the book of John chapter 7. Let's go to verse 38, John chapter 7 and verse 38. Messiah talking, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. Where does that river of living water come from? Comes from being filled by the Spirit of the Most High. That's why it is, just can't overstate it, it is critical that you know that this has happened to you in your life, that you have received the Holy Spirit. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water by the Spirit of the Most High. When brothers be teaching that, you know, the more words you have, the more spirit you have, I just have to shake my head. I said, do you think those Pharisees and those Sadducees who were lawyers in the law, they knew the law inside and out? They may not have known prophecy, but they knew the law. They were lawyers. They sat in the seat of Moses. Moses' seat is the law seat, the lawgiver's seat. Those that administer the law and make the laws, they sit in the seat of Moses. You think the Most High told them, didn't tell them they must be born of the water and of the Spirit? Who is he talking to? He's talking to our forefathers, who the statutes, laws, and commandments were given to. Even though they didn't obey them fully, it was given to them. And he still was telling them they had to be born of his Spirit. So when brothers be teaching, hey, all you got to do is study this word. And the more words you know, the more spirit you have. It is a lie from hell. That keeps people and all those people that they teach from actually seeking to be the true infilling from the Most High. Oh, I don't have to tarry. I don't have to ask the Most High for his Spirit. I don't have to want this. I can do it on my own. I can just study, and I can get all the spirit I want. See how evil that is? It's evil. You want that river of living waters to flow from you? You must have his Spirit. Romans chapter 10. The book of Romans chapter 10. Verse 11. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Now, the truth of the matter is, a lot of people use Romans chapter 10 for salvation, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach and shalt believe in thine heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you confess him that way and you know him, then you also know that you have to do what he said to do. Because a lot of people will confess with their mouth, but never do what he says to do. So they would cherry pick these verses and say, oh, you're now saved. Never received the Holy Spirit, never got taught what the law is, never got taught that they got to obey. Just love your neighbor. The way some people love, I don't want them loving me. Some people ain't got a clue about what love is, true love is. Don't have a clue. And they try to administer, you know, they think they're doing it good for you, but they don't have a clue. Their love is by their standards and not by the standard of the Most High. Let's go to 1 Timothy. But we surely cannot be ashamed of Messiah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And I kind of feel like we've already been here. Yeah, we already did this. Let's skip that one. John chapter 20. The book of John chapter 20. John chapter 20, we're going to get verse 29. Faith in Elohim. John chapter 20 and verse 29. Yeshua saith unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me. Faith is the substance hoped for and the evidence of things what not yet seen. Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. You don't have to have faith. He have seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. We have not seen Messiah. in the flesh. Didn't see the miracles. Believe on him, that's out of faith. He said, blessed are we that have not seen and yet believe. So we got to understand that we got to believe on him. Now, let's look and see what Thomas actually said. And I want us to get this. Let's start in verse 21. John chapter 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Yeshua to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you, remit. And see, a lot of people just don't want to believe that we have this power. We have this authority. Whosoever sins. If you have the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. What does this word remit mean? Let's look it up. Remit in verse 23. This word is aphiaimi in the Greek, and it means to send forth as follows, to cry, to forgive, forsake, lay aside, leave, let alone. Whosoever sins you, forgive. Whosoever sins you, forgive, they are forgiven. We don't walk in that authority. And if you say that to people, they think you're crazy. Oh, that fool cray cray. Only God can forgive sin. Let's read this verse again. Because we don't walk in the authority that is given us. And when even when the Most High told me to do this with this congregation, many did not catch it and many did not believe. And I know they thought, Brother Miles, you know, there's something wrong with him. This fool think he God or something. No, I believe in the Most High has told me what my authority is. And he has shown me in the scriptures what I have the authority to do. Because it's not me doing it, it's him in me that is doing it. So let's read this verse again. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, then you have the power and authority that whosoever sins you remit, you say are forgiven. Their sins are forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, you say their sins are not forgiven. Their sins are retained. That's why he says, be careful. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. We're supposed to be reconciling people to the kingdom of the Most High. And when somebody is truly repentant, and their spirit testifies to the spirit of the Most High within you, he'll put it into your heart to pray for their sins to be forgiven. And their sins are forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins, you say, uh-uh, your heart is not right. Your sins are not forgiven. Their sins are what? Retained. It's not you doing it. That's why he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Spirit of the Most High. It's the Spirit of the Most High within you that's doing it. Your sins are forgiven. Yours are not. People are going to look at us like it's you because they see men. They don't see the Most High in you. They see you. And if they have no understanding, if they have no faith, and know that this is what the Most High is doing, they won't be able to receive it. They'll actually reject you. And I've seen it even in this ministry. And I just said, yeah, I forgive them because they don't understand what great gift you are giving them. Because many of us, you know, I don't really know a person that can really claim, I couldn't claim it, that I had, once I came into the knowledge of the truth, that I hadn't willfully sinned after that, knowing that it was wrong, I did it anyway. And this is when the Most High started bringing all these things to my attention. We don't walk in the power and authority. We don't have faith in what he says that we can do. So let's read this one more time, and then I'm going to get off of it. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Not just that those that sin against you, because you have the power to forgive anybody that sin against you. It's not talking about people who have sinned against you. This is people who are in sin, period. They didn't do it against you. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. We have that power if we have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And when the Most High offered it to us here, as I said, most people just flat out rejected it. And I know, I could feel it. But it was okay by me because they don't know what they were giving up. We have to walk in the authority. We have to walk in the might. We have to believe. We have to have faith. So hear the word of the Most High. Go to Luke chapter 8 and verse 50. You know, on that same line, Luke chapter 8 and verse 50, when you present the gospel to somebody and they just reject it, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. I don't believe in that. He says you are to knock the dust of your shoes. If you're at their house, knock the dust of your shoes off of them. Knock the dust of their house off of your shoes. They have rejected the gospel. We are commanded that you have to, okay, let me put it this way. Let's read Luke chapter 8, verse 50, and I want to come back to this subtopic here because it goes toward our discipleship and our walk and what we have to know that we have the authority and are commanded to do and why we're commanded to do it. Luke chapter 8 and verse 50. But when Yeshua heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only and you shall be made whole. This is believing that the Most High can heal you, that he's going to do his work in you, that you ask him to heal somebody, to deliver them. Ask it without doubting and let it go. Okay. That person that you're praying for has to also believe. You can't doubt. If they know you're praying for them, they can't doubt. If they don't know you're praying for them, then it's up to you, between you and the Most High. But what you have as a disciple, if the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be the most valuable thing in your life, and the Most High and Mashiach are supposed to be the most important people in your life, nobody before them. How important do you think this gospel is? How valuable do you think this gospel is? The Most High is offering you salvation. He's offering you to be taken out of his wrath. He's offering you eternal life in peace with him. How valuable do you think that is? And for somebody to reject it. That's what he means by cast not your pearls before swine. If they don't value it, if they can't see the value in it, he says, don't waste your time. This goes with your family, friends, everybody. You got to understand that what you have is so valuable that they should want it with everything that they have. They should be willing to give up everything that they have for it. It should be that important to them. I got to have that. And then when they won't hear it, then he says, you are to disregard them. You're to knock off the dust of your shoes concerning them. I want to give them another chance. You got to obey the commandments. Maybe the Most High will send somebody else to them. You did what you were supposed to do. But I don't want to see them go to hell. I don't want to see them go to the lake of fire. You don't have a lake, a fire, or a heaven to put them into. But you are supposed to seeing that you reject the salvation of the Most High. I knock the dust off of my shoes against you, and it shall be a testimony against you. See, we don't want to think that way. If we had something that we thought was so valuable, really, and think about this, because we put it in the natural. If we had something that we knew was of such great value and people didn't value it, they didn't see the importance of it, and we're trying to tell them, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this. And we know it's for their own good. Hey, if you don't do this, let me see if I can come up with another example. You know, you just ran out the apartment complex. And you know that behind you, the building is on fire. And you know it's spreading rapidly. And as you're running out, somebody else is trying to run, and you say, hey, don't go in there. The building is going to come down. It's like a tinderbox. And the fire is spreading so fast that if you go in, you can't get out. And you're grabbing them, and you're trying to hold them, and they punch you in the eye. And in the face to get away from you. I tried to stop you. But you just insisted on going in there. and they die. It's not your fault. You tried. Now the Most High says this gospel is so valuable that if they can't see the value in it, you're not to try to beat it into them. You're not to try to convince them. So maybe I'll get those verses for tomorrow. That you're to shake off the dust of your shoes. Do you reject this? It's a testimony against you. It's not a testimony against you that gave them the message. It's a testimony against them that rejected it. And you're supposed to know that what you have is so valuable . You're supposed to have a standard about yourself. So I'll get that for us in the morning. We're at 6:51, and we are finished with faith toward Elohim as a principle of the doctrines of Messiah. The next one that we will get into will be the doctrines of baptism. The things that we have talked about, make them your foundation. I pray that you wrote them down. If you need the verses, just email me or text me and I will send you all the verses if you weren't able to write them down. Because it needs to be foundational to you. It needs to be part of your core. You need to value it and believe it. These doctrines, the way that Messiah taught them, what he says concerning them. You need to walk in them. Because without that, without understanding them, he's saying you're going to need to be retaught and retaught and retaught and retaught and retaught. You're going to need the foundation reestablish, because you're not going to make it real to you. And you're never going to be able to go on toward what? Perfection. Go on to perfection. In the word of the Most High, in your faith, in your walk. And let's just be truthful. Some of us don't want to be perfect. In some kind of way, for some of us, that actually offends us. Know that if we have that feeling that we have erred in our understanding and in our faith, we have erred within ourselves. Something, somewhere, somehow, some doctrine we believe, some personal thought that we had or we believe has corrupted us and is preventing us from going on to perfection, even preventing us to even desire it. So these are the foundations, repentance from dead works and faith toward Elohim. Lay not that foundation again. These are the foundational scriptures I'm giving you concerning these different doctrines of Mashiach, what he said concerning these things. So that we can be established in them. Let's bow our heads. Father, Yah, we seek you, Father. We seek your presence. We seek to be at your feet. We seek to be taught by you. We seek to be convicted by you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us a heart and a mind that we could hear it. Father, in whatever area that we are weak in, if there be anything that is grievous to us, Father, help us to work it out. Help us to remove it from our system, that we might be obedient to your word, to you, and that we will do it happily, without sadness, without regret, that we would pour ourselves into it with our whole hearts, that our faith would be 100, 1,000% in you, Father, and in your commandments, in your statutes, in your laws, in your judgments, in your ordinances. All that you have said, Father, we will do. All that you have said, we will do. We will obey. We just want to be good servants. Help us to search out our hearts and our minds and to get rid of those things that are not like you and to abound in those things that are. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, tomorrow morning for spiritual warfare, we will continue in the Bible, Black History According to the Bible, and I pray that we are able to attend. May Yah bless you and may he keep you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. We will pick this up on Tuesday, the Doctrines of Baptism. No, Tuesday is newcomers class. So we will do newcomers, so we'll pick this up again on next Sabbath. We will be in the Doctrines of Baptism according to the doctrines of the principles of the doctrines of Mashiach, of Christ. So I pray to see you all in the morning, and no matter where you may be, may Yah bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Yah bless you. And may his peace be with you.
I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a butt. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you? I don't know.